Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are always excited to have you, but we're ready to start off with our devotion, which is song, scripture, and prayer. If you'd be willing to join us, we're going to have a song by Vicky Yohe, Because of Who You Are. We're going to have a scripture by Dr. James Nooks and Dr. Susan Street Beavers will lead us in prayer.
scripture lesson this evening is John 10:10, but I'm going to read for you John 10:1-10. This is in the New King James Version translation. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God. Dr. Susie, are you on mute?
Yes, exactly. I was on mute. Thank you. I was praying. I ask that you come with me tonight, right now, as we go before the Lord in prayer. Well, we come before you tonight, and we're just so grateful. Grateful that you love us and you care about us, that we can worship you because of who you are. We praise you, O God, because of your word, because you are, O God, the shepherd, the good shepherd. And, Lord, you promised us abundant life. So we come for you tonight asking that you would help open our eyes and give us clarity about what that means. What does that look like? Help us to be more like you. Help us to open our hearts and minds as you lead us into a new truth, into a deeper understanding. We honor you, we praise you, we glorify you. We ask it now in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say, amen. Amen. So tonight we are going to be talking about living the abundant life. This is the lesson for the entire month of September. Our foundational text, of course, is what Dr. Nooks read, John, the passage 1 through 10, but we're going to focus on the 10th verse. And as we go through, you know, we want to ask some questions tonight about what to expect building healthy relationships with others. Associating with the godly is no guarantee of godliness. So while we are processing this scripture, we want to keep that theme in mind, what to expect building healthy relationships with others. So as we get started tonight, we have several scriptures that we're going to be utilizing as we discuss that. We'll be using several scriptures in John 10:10, Hebrews 11, Proverbs 3:9-10 as well this month. So let's start off with the question. For those of you who are on the line, question, what is the abundant life? What do you think it means when it talks about abundant life? For God says for us to have an abundant life. What does that mean? So Dr. Nix, if you'll kind of start off that discussion.
Well, we know that the abundant life from our text is a life that we gain through a relationship with Christ. So the abundant life is different than I think what we think of as abundance and thinking of it in a fleshly sense. Those that are living the abundant life hear Jesus' voice and follow Jesus. So that means it's a life of Christ. It's a life of the Spirit. It's a life of a relationship with God. So it's a life that no matter where we are, what situation we're in, we have Christ on our side. We have God with us. And that makes a big difference. And it's a life of joy, a life that Christ shares his joy with us, so we have joy. It's a life of love. It's because God is love, and Jesus died for us as a preeminent gesture of love. So it's also a life that we hear Jesus' voice. Jesus tells us to love each other, even to love our enemies. So it's a life that is based on what Christ has told us to do and how to live. But it's also a life that we gain. I don't know about you all listeners in, but I thought that position and money and power and education would be an abundant life. But you find out soon that those things do not provide you with the joy and the life that you thought they would. Some of the loneliest people in the world are people that have a lot of money. So,
Amen.
The abundant life is a life that is different from what we think of as abundance. It's again, a life in Christ is a life of love. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of wanting to sacrifice, but it's a life of gain. You gain so much from it.
Amen. We have several people on the line that have joined us tonight. Brother Eric and others, we're talking about what does it mean to have an abundant life. What does abundant life mean? When people, Christians, are talking about abundant life in Christ, what does that mean? And Brother Nooks was just saying it's not the monetary education, all of those things that we think that it's about. So, Brother Eric, what do you think that abundant life is about?
That's a good question. There are days when I'm not sure what that means, and then there are days that it seems to be so clear, depending upon what our what my struggles are, what I'm dealing with. But I would say that through all of that, what I've come to understand is the abundant life is knowing that Christ died for me, specifically, as well as all others who accept him. And that no matter what my trials and struggles and my joys and mountaintop experiences may be in this world, and there will be hills and valleys. Abundant life means that I can live the life here and be assured that in accepting Christ as my personal Savior, that I don't have to be separated from God forever. I think so many times we forget that there's more to this worship and fellowship and relationship with Christ and God than just on this plane that we walk for however many years we're given. And for me, that's the one constant thing. I don't care how high I get or how low I get. I know that that's always true.
Amen. Amen. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read this verse. I'm going to start with the 11th verse. Down to the 17th, it says, we know what it means to fear the Lord, and so we try to persuade others. God knows us completely, and I hope that in your heart you know me as well. We're not trying again to recommend ourselves to you. Rather, we are trying to give you a good reason to be proud of us so that you'll be able to answer those who boast about a man's appearance and not about his character. Are we really insane? Is it for God's sake, or are we sane? Then it is for your sake. We're ruled by the love of Christ now that we recognize that one man died for everyone, which means that they all shared in his death. He died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but only for him who died and was raised to life for their sake. No longer then do we judge anyone by human standards, even if at one time we judge Christ according to human standards. We no longer do so. For when anyone is joined to Christ, he's a new being. The old is gone. The new has come. Now I'm going to read 18. It says, all this is done by God who through Christ changed us from enemies into friends and gave us the task of making others his friend. So, as we are looking at what it means to have abundant life, it sounds like to me abundant life is a new life. It's a life in which we're new creations, where old things have passed away and new things have come. And we see when we read the 10th verse in the book of John, 10:10, it says, then the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So again, with a little bit more information, what does this new life look like? What does it look like to you? What is a new life, Brother Nooks? What is a new life, Brother Eric? Just new. What does that newness look like?
Well, this is Eric. That, as I stated, that newness is that there's an advocate for me that means that I don't have to die in my sins and I don't have to be forever separated from God, which is what should happen because of the sinfulness of man. And we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We're all as filthy rags in his sight. And so that new life means that I can live in Christ Jesus and be accepted by God. But in doing that, there needs to be a change in my mind and in my spirit to seek to live as Christ lived. And I need for our listeners to hear me clearly. Doesn't mean that we always get it right every day, all day. Doesn't mean that, because we don't. I don't care how long you serve the Lord. I don't care how long you've been going to church. I don't care how long you've been reading your Bible. I don't care how long you've been singing hymns. You don't. But when you don't, Christ is there with the atoning blood of his sacrifice to renew you, that once you come to your senses and repent and ask Christ to forgive you in his Son, Jesus Christ's name, then you are renewed and brought back into the fold. And that what you have done, God remembers no more. He says he cast them in the sea of forgiveness, not to remember them anymore. As far as from the east is from the west.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that newness looks like to me.
Amen. And, you know, Dr. Nooks was saying something earlier, and it just kind of made me want to think about the fact that, you know, when we're looking at this newness, when we're looking at this abundance, that people are always saying, you know, well, God will give us exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask for or imagine. And then Dr. Nooks was saying real clearly that it's not about material things. It's not about, but now this, we look through our scripture and we see that God blesses people. We do see that. We see promises that God gives. We see blessings to people. You know, we hear in the book of Joshua that we talk about a lot in Psalms, they talk about how we can be prosperous. But this is not a prosperity gospel. But if you look at it, we have to ask the question, is God trying to tell us that abundant life is the result of having been made new? Is prosperity the sign of abundance? Because many times when we look in the scripture, even though we see that some are being blessed, we also see a lives of struggle, we see suffering, and we see pain. So what does that mean if we can have – go ahead.
Yeah, this is Eric. But I was just going to say then if it was about abundance and things, then why would Christ have to say, what is the gain of man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Amen.
So therefore, it's not about the things. It's not about the abundance of being prosperous in this realm on this earth. And Christ's gospel to the Jews was, there's something else to come, and that which is to come is eternal. So you need to get yourself ready for that. And here's an opportunity for you to do that before you even get there. And I am the way. I will show you the way to do that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm going to explain that to you now, whether you decide to do it or not. It's totally up to you. And sometimes we just get lost in that.
Yeah, and this is James, and if it were about earthly gains, then it'd be very easy to see the most righteous people in the world. They'd be the richest. But that's not the case. and, you know, and Jesus gives the parable about the man building the barns and going along with what Brother Eric was saying, you know, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. So this day, thou fool, your life is required of you. So you can build barns and make all kind of money. But I'll tell you what, sickness and death is a common denominator. I don't care how much money you got. If you get sick, you sick. If you die, you die. And it does, you know, so we seek these things and what does a prophet, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So it's what we seek. You know, we seek God and God's kingdom. We seek to do what God would have us to do. When we do that, then we are living an abundant life, and God provides the increase, not us.
Amen.
And
amen.
We
and
take
I think it's
credit for it.
I think it's very important, though, Doc. Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. The phone went out. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when we take credit for it, then we deny the power of God. I mean, we are putting ourselves up. And you know, the athletes used to win races and stuff. They'd say, I give glory to God. Thank God. But when you sit up and you say, I did this, and sometimes the people that say they give God glory, they're really thinking they did it too. then we're not living the abundant life. We're living a life that says me, me-ism. And we, you know, as Christians, Christ said, if my sheep hear my voice and follow me. And that means that we follow Christ and we give God the glory. And then we are living a new life then. We are being reconciled from that world that wants to say me, 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 me. And we begin to say God, 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 God. Thank you, Jesus, and mean it. Then we are starting to live an abundant life. And we fall. Our listeners don't think that we can always stay up and we're always holy. But if we seek it, then that's different than not even wanting to seek it.
Amen.
You see, that's the change that happens in our lives. At least we seek it. We want it. Go ahead, Dr. Susie. Sorry.
We just need to be mindful of what you were saying, Dr. Nix, is when we get confused about abundance, we want to mix it with the world's knowledge and understanding of abundance, because when we look at the people of faith, they were tortured, they were mocked, they were scourged, they were imprisoned, Paul. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were destitute, they were mistreated, they were homeless. So the writer of this book is trying to let us know that, you know, if we look at it, the world was not worthy of the saints that had gone before there. They were approved through their faith. And if we look in the book of Hebrews, that's what we see. Hebrews 11 lets us know about faith and the importance of the faith, how the saints that came and walked and what they did, and that they didn't live to receive the promises, but they still walked in faith believing. Even though all these things happened to them, that they were scourged and tortured and all these things that I shared. And so we ask the question again, does that look like, sound like abundant life? Is that prosperity? And yet when we see that, we see the people that were struggling, like you said, Dr. Nooks, they had a deep-seated joy. So how can you have joy and all this stuff going on?
Well, this is Eric, because you're looking for that which is to come. I mean, you really understand that it's not about this realm. I mean, it's not. And that is the new life and the abundant life is to not look at just this plane. Hard. Difficult.
But then what does it mean?
Because
what does it mean, Eric, then when he says I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly?
But that means that you are filled, he's come that you may have life more abundantly so that you can understand that you don't have to die in your sins and be separated from God forever. Because what you endure down here is going to be 30, 40, 50, 100 times more once you get to the other side with God. That there's not going to be any suffering. There's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any death. There's not going to be any persecution. That you're going to live with God.
Yeah.
This is Dr. And also, I said, and also, I realize, I go back to the story of Jesus in the boat with the disciples on the sea, and a storm comes. The storm is raging, but the disciples are safe in the boat because Jesus is with them. And I go back to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you know, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth, of the age. The joy for me comes in that Jesus is with me in the boat. It doesn't matter the storm that comes.
Come on.
Uplifted because Jesus is with me in the boat, and that gives me joy. I don't know about anybody else, but to know that Christ is with me helps me when my tears are flowing, my heart is broken, I don't know how I'm going to do it, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but yet I am comforted because Jesus is with
Hallelujah.
Me.
Amen. And Dr. Nooks, you know, that's exactly what I was getting ready to say, is that, you know, we talk about that when Brother Eric said, you know, for him it's futuristic looking as well, but I would say it's that plus knowing that God
yes.
is with you now, that God is
Amen.
Walking with you presently, that the scripture, I don't know which one it is per se, but it says, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And Paul
yes.
found that sufficiency with his life in Christ. You know, but the riches that he's referring to are not the stuff that we can go and buy from Walmart, but a peace that passes
no.
all understanding. It's a promise that in the midst of trouble, come on somebody, that God is with you. It's a promise that when you fall away from everybody and you don't have no support system, and you're in the middle of the night and the car ain't working, that God is with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. It's the assurance that no matter what you are dealing with, whether it's an illness or a death of a loved one or a challenge, you're not walking through that journey by yourself.
Amen.
So, and we need to know that, you know, people get upset and they go, well, you know, there's people over here, you know, the question is, what do we expect building healthy relationships with others? You know, we are supposed to be individuals that are walking by faith. We're supposed to be individuals that are, you know, choosing to trust in the Lord and have abundant life in the fact that we know that we're not alone, and that, like what Eric says, is even though, you know, I'm thinking, even though it's raining on the just and the unjust, I know what my promises are, what God has promised me, what I can look forward to, and that we know that God's never lied. And so it's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen.
So, do you think that some believers deal with problems because of their relationship with Christ? Eric?
Yeah, they do. But there are even times where that even through that walk, it becomes murky at best. And we've got to stay, you know, praying and worshiping and reading and sincerely in an authentic way asking God to guide and direct us and help to see us through it. We don't have to see how it's going to turn out, but, you know, there are troubles even for the most committed that shakes their foundation. You know, I mean, But even in that shaking, God has still said, come to me. Let us reason. Let us talk. Let me through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, let you know that it's going to be okay. As Dr. Nook said, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you till the ends of the earth.
Amen. So
Amen.
As believers with problems, but because of our relationship with Christ, we know that sometimes it costs us the new life that we have in Christ. Costs us. Sometimes it's physical and material abundance. And as we're promised this deep peace beyond what we can come up with, it says it passes all understanding. And I don't know about you, but I have experienced when times are difficult and I should be freaking out. There's peace. And I even hear my soldiers tell me that in the midst of battle, when they were going in the thickest of the fight, they got a peace before they went in. The Christian was a peace that passes all understanding, a trust, a deep trust in the Lord. And so when we look at abundant life, when we can see that people have been changed by the power of Christ through that abundant life. They live differently, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so what do we need to expect in building these healthy relationships with other people, or building healthy relationships, when we know that, you know, folks that we associate with don't always make it easy?
Yes.
Even when they call themselves godly. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say something about that. Sometimes we do suffer as a result of our relationship with God in our relationship with other people, but some of those other people maybe we don't need to have relationships with, because people,
well,
if they see that you've been changed and you're different and you are trying to follow Christ, trying to live a life that's pleasing to God, some of your so-called friends will leave you. They won't want to be bothered with you anymore. They'll say, you're too holy. You don't party like you used to. You don't do this. You don't do that. They don't want to be around you. You pray too much. But I think God is leading us to different relationships. You talk about relationships, Dr. Susie. There's some relationships that we need to leave alone, and there's other relationships that we need to form that will help us in our walk with Christ. It's not to say that you stop loving people, but there's some relationships you don't need to be walking with some people on the path they're walking it down. You need to go to a different path and form different relationships in some cases. God doesn't want us to be alone. So some of the folks you used to hang out with, they are not going to want to hang out with you when you've changed. And that's okay. And it's hard. It is really hard. I mean, some of those are your lifelong buddies. Some of those might even be your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever. I don't know. But it's better that you walk with Christ than you walk down a path separate from Christ, especially if you've been changed. Then you are going to seek to hear Jesus' voice. You're going to want to seek to follow God. And the way you used to live is not going to be pleasing or accepting to you anymore. There's going to be something in you that's going to say, this doesn't feel right. I'm going to go this way instead of the way I used to go.
Amen.
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 So we look at as we're looking at what to expect when we have claimed that we are being changed by the Lord and we're trying to build healthy relationships. And I tend to say that it is going to beat you up in your marriage. You know, when one individual begins to change his life or her life for a relationship with God, and the other one may get a little upset because it challenges what they want to do. It challenges how they see things. And so it becomes...
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is Eric. So let me put this for real out there, because, I mean, seems to be kind of obvious, but I think sometimes we overlook it. If you're talking about trying to have a healthy relationship with others, you can't have that with others unless you insert a third person, which is the Trinity. I mean, you can't. That's very, very difficult to do that if the Holy Spirit isn't in the midst of that relationship, giving you discernment and understanding, and you know, because as Dr. Susie, you said, and Dr. Nook said, it may be that some people got to go. And you need to be able to discern that. And you can't discern
that
on your own.
And you cannot discern it without. There you go.
Right. You can't discern on you, and you can't discern that without the Holy Spirit, because you're used to what the flesh was, and what you used to do. And we become very comfortable with what we used to do. And so you can't talk about having a relationship with others that's going to be beneficial without making sure that the Holy Spirit is in it.
And Brother Eric, if you've been in the dark for a long time, how do you know what light looks like without the Holy Spirit?
You don't.
That's my point.
Let's just say you've been in the dark, but now you just got a black light, so you're still in the dark.
Amen.
Y'all remember the black lights, what that used to do.
It
gave an illusion of light.
Laughing.
Yeah, it gave an illusion of light, but it wasn't really light. You were still in the dark.
But that's what I'm trying to say. When we get this new life, it's not like we have the expertise of saying, I know everything there is to know about that. Just because we get a relationship with God, that's a good thing. I'm not knocking that. But what I am saying is, until you walk in the light somewhat, you don't know, because you've been living in darkness. So you don't have the answers just yet. You know, the Holy Spirit has to teach you through walking and talking and doing it by faith and learning. And that's why we go through some of this stuff. That's why we have people who've given us examples of suffering, because they learn in the midst of suffering. Suffering will put you on your knees and teach you how to pray.
Amen.
And we learn.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, suffering, go ahead, Dr. Nukes.
I was just going to support what Dr. Susie was saying earlier about it can cause problems in your marriage, and that's just why Scripture tells us to be evenly yoked. Because if you have a believer that's one of the spouses and a non-believer that's not, you're going to have some serious issues. And then also if one comes to Christ after they've been married and then the other one does not want to come to Christ, you're going to have some serious issues in marriage. And it is really difficult, and it will send you to your knees to pray.
Amen.
Because the other person is saying, well, this isn't the person I married. You know, it isn't fair.
Yep.
You know, you changed.
This is what
now.
I agreed with.
You follow this Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, so it is, and it's very difficult. And but yet, you got Jesus with you in that storm. But that is, Brother Eric said, that's the for real, real. That does happen.
So I thought Brother Eric was telling me if I just hang around him and associate with him, that's a guarantee that I'm gonna get to be godly, right?
No, that ain't what that means. No, that's not what that means. Not even close to being what that means. You have to have your own relationship.
Amen.
You can see in me that there's something different, that there's something new that attracts you, but you've got to have your own relationship.
So you mean it don't rub off on me? Okay. Well.
I think it
can influence, and that's why I think, you know, you should be very intentional about the people you hang around with, because if you got strong believing people, then it will give you the strength to grow in that same admonition and in that way. So we have to be very careful about the company we keep. Brother Britt, did you want to say anything? Kind of quiet tonight.
I was late coming, but I've been listening to what everybody's been saying, and I, for one, can tell you that when God speaks to you and you're called to do his work, yes, it'll change your life. I know that I was going through some problems, and when God called me, things became real clear what I had to do. My wife was going one way, I was going another. not everybody, including your wife, they're not meant to go on the journey with you because God is calling you. So after 15 years, that ended. But tell you, my life has gotten better because I followed what God wanted me to do. And even now, people are still asking me, how did you survive that period? How did you do this? How did you do that? And I said, it's all God. I believed in God from an early age. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. My dad was a minister at Christ Temple. But my mother was Baptist. So my upbringing in the Baptist church allowed me to become a junior deacon at an early age, 8 or 9. And I even gave some messages in junior church. But all this prepared me because God has had his hands on me since I have been born. My mom and dad are not my biological parents.
So you're
right.
Saying new life.
My mom and dad are not my biological.
So I was trying to understand what you were saying, Brother Brett, is that all of that comes from a new life in Christ.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
And I think the first time that you experience that God is with you when you had that one-on-one relationship and things come to you, you're going to be amazed as to how things happen. You're going to be amazed at how your life takes on a new meaning. No, you're not going to go to the clubs. Hey, but you may not go to a club, but you will go to the club that God has for you. That means you're going to find something in a church that he allows you to be in where you can grow. And when you have absorbed everything that you can from that church and that church does no longer fit your needs, then you need to find another one. It's not meant for you to stay at a church for your whole life. You can't grow if you don't experience what other people have to offer out here. You can't grow when you listen to one person.
So as we were talking about the need to be able to, I was focusing on associating with godly people. That is not a guarantee of godliness. And so what I'm wanting us to stay focused on is abundant life is not about what we have. It's not about what we get.
Right.
It's not about what we claim. Ultimately, we need to know it's about what we receive as a gift from the Lord and to live knowing that we're good stewards of whatever blessings we get. But
Amen.
We need to know it's not a sin to be rich. You know, we're not saying that that's an issue, but that's not the focal point. At the end of the day, having an abundant life, when we've shared our life with other people, when we have enough of the blessings of God, when we have learned that it's really not about what we get, but what we've given. It's not measured by what we receive, but by what we've given. And so as we look at abundant life, we look about joy, we look at relationship with Christ, we look at the fact that we can be around folk all day long who are godly, but it means nothing if you don't have your own personal relationship with God. We've talked about the basic things about what does it mean to have abundant life. And so what I'm going to ask each of you to do tonight is to share with me one word that you would encourage people to do, because what we're going to do next week is we're going to take the scripture 10:10, 1 through 10, and we're going to analyze it. So I ask all of you to go back home to read your text and to understand how the shepherd operated with the sheep and with the gate. What did that look like? What does it mean during those days and those times when a shepherd actually tended sheep? And he, you know, sometimes it was a cave that he went in. He would lay across the front of the cave as the gate so nothing could come by him. So let's talk about what that looks like next week. But as we leave, I want to leave the audience with the idea of what is essential about abundant life. What is very essential that you need to focus on, and it's not money. But what is it that you want to share is essential about abundant life? All I need is like one word. And then, Brother Eric, if you would close us in prayer and an invitation. So if you would go last, I would appreciate that. So, Britt, do you want to say one thing about what it is that you think abundant life is important about abundant life?
Yes, faith.
Faith, amen. The Hebrews 11 is what we talked about. The whole chapter is a chapter of faith. Faith will give you the truth to abundant life. Dr. Nooks.
Submission to God.
Submission to God. Amen. This is Dr. Susie. I would say relationship with God. And Dr. Eric, Reverend Dr. Minister, Pastor, Dr.
Well, I don't know about all that, Dr. Susie, but the fact that you took my phrase, relationship with God, is absolutely right.
You steal it from me all the time.
I know that's you know, you're allowed to do that if you don't go last. I get it. But I guess for me it's belief in Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and light, and no man cometh to the Father under any circumstance except through Jesus. So, and that being said, I'm going to extend an invitation to our listeners that if you are looking for that abundant life, if you are looking for a relationship with God and a faith, and if you are looking for fellowship and a guidance of the Holy Spirit, you have to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And if you're looking for that abundant life, then I would invite you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you would come to my life, take control to lead and guide and direct me. As I surrender myself to you, that you would be the Savior that you were born to be. For you were crucified on the cross, buried in the tomb, rose the first day of the week, ascended into heaven and seated at God's right hand, making intercession for all the sinners of the world. I confess that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior and ask that you would rest, rooted, abide, controlling my life this day, hence, now, and forevermore. And if you've prayed that prayer, you have been saved. If you've asked Christ to come into your life, you have been saved. And so I'd invite you to find a church in your area that you can study and worship and fellowship and become more and more of what Christ has asked you to be. And if that is a church that practices baptism, you need to do that. But you've already been saved. Don't let anybody tell you any different. The Word says if you confess and believe, you are saved. So with that, let me offer up a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I am not worthy to be in thy presence, but only through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life on Calvary's cross, allows me the opportunity to come before your throne of petition. I ask that you would guide and direct us, Father, for we've been on this Bible study for a long time, Father. We've grown in numbers, we've dwindled in numbers, but we who have been faithful, Father, have studied thy word to show ourselves approved, Father. And it's not always been easy, Lord, for the things that come and go in our lives. And we don't know why. Some we cause, some we don't cause. But we're just trying to do your work and your will and in your way, and ask that you would continue to bless that. I ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would meet each and every one who is listening and who participates in this Bible study, their needs. For you know what they are, companionship, financial stability, work, your presence, all those things that they need, Father, that you would meet them, for only you are able to do so. And you told us you'd never leave us nor forsake us, even until the ends of the earth. Even when we are in the midst of our troubles and we're not sure which way to go and which way to turn, but we believe in Christ Jesus that all is well. I ask, Father, that you would be mindful of those upon the Gulf Coast and approaching storm and that all will be saved and there will be no life lost, Father, that we may look at your power and your glory in awe, but that we will do things that will not cause anyone to be harmed. Father, I'm going to take a selfish privilege here, Father, for there are things that are swirling in my life, Father, right now, and some days I don't know if I'm up or down. But I do know that you are sovereign God and you know all things. You know me better than I know myself. So have your way, whatever that looks like. Give me the strength and courage to follow your way. Bless these Amen. That are here, Father, and continue to strengthen them and uphold them in their ministry and in their work, that they may do a great work for you. And we will all give you the praise, honor, and glory. And we thank you for who you are. For you alone, our God. We pray this prayer in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Amen. See you guys next week.
Blessings. Thank you, Dr. Sue.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.